You all look so festive. I love the red and all the colors. You look wonderful. My dad this morning is preaching for a Fortune 500 company that calls him quite often. I spoke with him this morning. He said he's going to preach to a group of about 5,000, about the same that's here, right? Of about 5,000, and he's blessed to be able to do that. The gospel will go forth. He's made some fantastic relationships around the country because of these conventions. He's been preaching in convention centers, I don't know, all over the country. What a fantastic opportunity. But he wants me to tell you that his heart is here. He misses you this morning, but he'll be back momentarily. Amen? Amen. A couple quick things I want to share with you. I share every time that I have the opportunity. The YouVersion app. How many of you are using the YouVersion app? Just wave at me. Lots of you are using it. That's fantastic. There's a plan that says Bible in a year, the chronological order of the scripture in a year. It's life-changing. I want you to know that. How many of you are going to eat multiple times today? Just wave at me. Multiple times. Some of you are liars, but no, I'm just kidding. Just teasing. But you need God's word more than just in a 30-minute segment on Sunday morning. Can I get an amen? And this is how you do it. You have to engage in it on your own. I've been doing this. This is my fourth full year doing it. You read the God's word from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm going to tell you a lot of the stories that are ministered and taught will come to life because you'll know the story as well as the guy teaching the story. Or you'll have a little different revelation on the story than someone else will. And I got to tell you, it's a fantastic, it's an easy way. It'll take you 15 minutes at the max, 20 minutes a day. You'll read 3 to 6 chapters. Those of you that are doing it know that is a fact. This morning I turned 203 days into the year again, and the same things that I've read and heard preached about, God speaks to me in a completely different way, and it's interesting, based on what's happening day in and day out in my life, I'll read something and I'll go, God, you're so timely, because I'll read something in the Psalms and it's exactly what's going on in my life. So I just can't encourage you enough. Don't depend on Sunday morning to be your only meal all week long. How many of you know if we did that in a physical sense, we'd be hurting? And I don't want you to do that. And I'm not foolish enough to believe that there are some in here that the only time you get God's word in you is right in here. And that's why people, I need my church. I need something positive going into me. I promise you, if you do this day in and day out, you'll feel like a different person. How many of you want a better 2020? Okay, I want you to do this. How many of you will say right now, I commit to doing this and I've never done it before? Just wave at me. Oh, look at all the hands. Okay. All right, I'm going to give you a test, okay? No, I'm just kidding. The next thing I want to share with you real briefly, very, very practical, is our Connect groups. I think, yeah, there it is, our Connect groups. Listen, our Connect groups right now in the men's Connect group on Wednesday nights, I'm a part of that with Elder Chuck Wood, Elder Chuck Vendetti teaching that. We're going through a study right now last week and this week on rejection. How many of you have ever been rejected before? We're going through a study on rejection, and I promise you, I've been in church my whole life. Dr. Lou Perez wrote the study. It's one of the most fantastic studies that I have ever been around in my life, and it's so relevant because if you walk as a believer, if you walk as a Christian, if you obey God's word, I'm going to promise you something this morning. You will be rejected at certain times. And this study is teaching us how to handle rejection, how to go to the Holy Spirit, how to go in prayer, where to go in God's word to find scripture that combats the enemy's scheme for your life and teaches you how to deal with the rejection. There's a lot of other Connect groups. Monday night, the Women's Connect group. Wednesday night with Amy Vineyard on the Zoom app. There's all kinds. You just got to get involved in them. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. So this morning, I had been contemplating for some time about what I would share this morning, and my mind went automatically to Christmas. The story of Jesus being born in a manger, the story of Mary, and I just couldn't get any clarity on what exactly I should minister about. So I began to ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to share?" This is what the Lord began to speak to me. I have an individual that I work with on a day-to-day basis, and it became very apparent to me around the holidays. That's a politically correct term, but all that means is the holy days, okay? That's all that means, the holy days. Christmas, it became very apparent to me that he is struggling, and the holidays, the holy days, had surfaced some feelings that he's had throughout his life, throughout his childhood, throughout his walk through life. Labels, I want you to keep that word, the labels had begun to surface because of Christmas and because of the holidays. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to preach about labels. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about something that has to do with Christmas." And so I continued on, and last Sunday I hadn't had a plan on what I would share. That's not a comforting feeling when you stand here on a Sunday morning the week prior. You don't know what you're going to preach about. That's why I have such a respect and honor for my dad getting up and doing this every week. And I'm in the back of St. Anthony's, and I'm standing back there, and there's a round table, and there's a cell phone sitting there on the table. And I'm looking around, and no one's around. And how many of you know I knew I'd find somebody frantically looking for their cell phone? And I begin to look around a little bit, and down front I saw Miss Page digging through jackets, stuff flying in the air, looking for her cell phone. And she began to walk to the back, and I said, "Pagey, come on over here. I have your cell phone." And she's like, "Ah," like we would all feel if we found our cell phone after we lost it. And I begin to have this conversation with her. "How you doing? What's going on?" And Ron Servone was standing there. We were chit-chatting a little bit. And she began to share her heart with us. And tears began to come down her face. And she said, "I'm just having a difficult time in school. I have this teacher that is just harsh." Am I saying it, explaining it right? Just harsh, just mean. And he says these things that just tear apart at my heart. And he's not kind to me, and I'm working through this, and I'm thinking to myself, "Okay, God, I asked you for confirmation. I didn't think you'd send this young lady right up to me to confirm this word, but he did." And I continued to think about the labels that people give us, that circumstances give us, and then lastly, the labels that God gives us. How many of you are thankful for God labels on our lives? And so I begin to contemplate this, and I begin to think this over, and I begin to think about my own life. I begin to think about how powerful words are. The power of words, they can create, they can motivate, they can encourage, they can shape, but they can also hurt. I hate to admit it, but I have a strong recollection of the things that people have said to me that have hurt me deeply. I don't know if that's true about you, but I can remember the words that have been sent to destroy and to tear down and to undermine and to criticize and to. I can remember those moments. I can remember those times in my life where words were used in such a negative way. There are people all over this room. You're great at speaking words of encouragement. I mean, I could point out people in this room. You have no idea. You've encouraged me. You've spoken life into me at some of the darkest, some of the most lowest points in my life. You just come up, shook my hand, and I can name the names around the building. But there are also moments, again, that I can recollect on to say, we can all do better at the words that we speak. I should get more than one amen. Amen. There's an old saying. It goes like this. It says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but dumbest thing I've ever heard. Just not true at all. Just not accurate at all. Because we remember, words hurt, words tear down, words. The things that we say, the things that we think, words are like the pillow on top of a mountain on a windy day when you rip the pillow open and the feathers go all over the mountain. That's how words are. We can't take them back too easily, can we? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue or our words have the power of life and death. And I love this. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Woo. Words can build, words can destroy. I begin to contemplate words in my own life, and not to belabor the negative, but I remember in seventh grade, my son Ryan is now in seventh grade, just to put that into context. And I walked into some of you have heard this story, I walked into a social studies class, and just to be real honest, I didn't care about history. It's just academics, you know, we were on the farm and we were feeding cows and I love the farm and I love to work with my hands, and academics just weren't the first priority to me. I walked into this social study class at 7th grade, about 12 years old. And this teacher, like with Paige, that's why I know that feeling. I know that feeling. This teacher began to tear me apart in front of the entire class. Just began to attack me. And I did what any young man of faith would do. I ran out of the class. It's a joke. Ran out of the class. I ran out of the school. And my mother could tell you the story probably better. But my recollection is I got about halfway home. About 5 miles down the road, my father, the principal, had called my father, and my father had drove home from Buffalo. He had worked at Home Depot. He was pastoring and working at Home Depot, small beginnings. And he drove home, and he pulled over, and I can remember the place where he pulled over, and he said, "Dude, what are you doing? You can't just walk out of school and walk home." And I begin to explain to him what happened. And in hindsight, I look at that teacher and I think to myself, she is a product of someone who was harsh to her. That's all it is. I mean, she's regurgitating what she'd heard as a child, maybe as a young adult. Someone had tore into her in some kind of way for her to act out in that way towards a student. And subsequently, later on in high school, she apologized, and she was going through a traumatic time in her life. I think a Tuesday night, Chuck Vendetti, Elder Chuck, and I will sit on the sidelines, and these kids that are from that part of the city, all over the city, will be playing basketball, and they'll shoot a shot. And they'll make a shot, and the first thing they'll do is they'll turn and they'll look, and they'll want to be validated. Validate me. Notice me. This is what they're saying. Love me. Care about me. Say something. Say something. I see these kids, 10, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 years old. Please, Ryan. Please notice me. I don't want to be invisible. I don't want to be invisible to my parents. I don't want to be invisible to my peers. Will you be the person that please tells me you're doing a good job? And there's people around this room just like that. You're learning. You're yearning for someone to say to you, to look you in the eyes and say, "I'm proud of you." From where you've come to where you are now. And so let me just do that. Let me just pause in this moment. Let me look at every person's heart and spirit in this room and tell you, I'm proud of you. Where you've come from, where your past, what you've overcome, what you've gotten through, I'm proud of you. What you're going through today, what you're handling today, I'm proud of the way you're handling it and how you've just tilted your shoulders back and you relied on God Himself. That's what these kids are crying for on Tuesday night. Please, please love me. The power of words. The power of a spoken word. The power of things said. I've been so extremely, extremely blessed. You think that I encourage you to go to Connect groups so there's more attendance. You think that I tell you to bring people to church so there's more attendance. Nothing could be further from the truth. I don't tell you because I worry about the attendance. Here's what I tell you for. Because there's someone that you know that needs the grace, the love, the kindness that God shows through people just like you and me. Connect groups. Those connect groups that we put up there. I was so fortunate as a child. My mother and father were great encouragers. My mother said things like to me all the time. I can't look at her because she'll get me all a mess up here. My mother and father said things to me like, "You're going to do great, kid. You're going to do fantastic. You're going to be fine, kid. You're going to do great." Other people, where's that picture of me and Amanda? Is it up there? Look at that picture. I was probably 14 at the time. I was so scared to be up in front of people. There was probably 50 people in that room. I was so afraid. I was so insecure. I was so nervous. I'd use the bathroom 3, 4, 5 times in the morning before I'd get up and sing 2 songs. So afraid. I needed someone to look at me and say, "You can do it." Remember that as you walk around this room, as people usher, as people serve the Lord, as people sing, as different ones. Who's that young girl standing next to me? You know who that is? Do you know? That's Amanda. All those years ago, needed someone to encourage me. I thank God for the house of God. Chuck and Cheryl, I think back. Chuck and Cheryl Vendetti. They're quiet. They keep a low profile around the church. They're just servants' heart. They just go around. "You're going to do great. You're such a blessing." Just speaking words of love and kindness and encouragement all the time. I thank God for people like that in the house of the Lord. I don't tell you to come to church for attendance. I tell you to come to church because you need people. You need people to validate you, to love you. You need it. Connect groups. You need people to have friendship with. To not have a friend, to not have someone you can call, to not have someone you can go to coffee. It leaves a hole. You're just like the child that sits, that plays basketball as I'm sitting, and they look at me to say, "Please notice me." No friendship, no connection. Connect group, no connection. So important. I was blessed to have that growing up. I think if I would have heard the opposite, I have a family member. You don't know him, so don't try to figure out who it is. I have a family member. His father, his nickname was Stupid for his son. That's what he called his son. Am I saying it right? He called him Stupid. You know what the problem with that is? We become the words that we hear. The faith that we hear. The things that we hear in our ear, we become them. Faith comes by hearing. I'm convinced that faith for the positive comes by hearing, and faith from the negative comes. It's interesting. Thank God for people that speak life. Here's the reality of what I'm talking about. Sadly, some struggle today because of labels picked up in the past. I want to say that again. And it's going to be like a little finger in your spirit. Some struggle today because of labels picked up in the past. We struggle in this moment because of labels we've wrongly owned from the past. Someone said something to you or about you. You did something. You can't shake. This is a big one. We say that we're forgiven. We say that Jesus has washed our sins. We say that we've moved on from the guilt and regret from yesterday, but do we own the label of that sin? I think many do. I think many great Christians, I think many great people of faith, they still identify with who they were, not who they will be. They've owned a label. They heard something on the outside and labeled themselves on the inside based on something from the past. I know I'm getting somewhere this morning. You should see your faces. I'm not sure what wrong labels you've picked up along the way. Maybe you heard words like this: you're lazy, you're insecure, you're sensitive, you're horrible relationally, you're dysfunctional, you're average, you're angry, you're hot-headed, you're annoying. I don't know what the label is from yesterday, but I want to walk through how to move beyond it. And this is where I want to take a turn. I want to say this to you because I want to be real about it. I want to be pointed about it. There might be some truth in the labels that we've heard. That's why we've received them. I know it's true for my life. Some of the things that people have labeled me with, there's just a hint of truth in there, right? There's just a little bit of truth in there. That's why it's hard to your spirit and your mind just to say, oh, that's nothing. We internalize it because there might just be a little bit of truth in that statement, in that label, in those words. Am I saying it right this morning? But I want to encourage you, hear this. I want to burn this into your heart and into your spirit. What's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. And I'm going to speak to someone. I'm going to talk to somebody's heart this morning. The Holy Spirit is in this place. He's going to change you he's going to move you from glory to glory to faith. What's true about you now? What's true about your circumstance today? What's true about what you're struggling with today? What's true about where you are today? Doesn't have to be true about you later. You've said things like this: I've just always been that way. I've just always done this. I've just always sinned this way. I've gone so far and then I've stopped. I want to tell you again this morning, hear this label that I'm blanketing over this house. What's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. Doesn't have to be true later. God's power is bigger than your past. His grace is stronger than any label you've put on yourself or someone has put on you. If you feel attached to a label, here's the difference. I was asking the Lord, how do we turn this thing? How do we move from this thing? How do we shift from this thing? How do we go on from this thing? Because we've attached ourselves based on some truth. So, God, how do we move beyond this? This is what I heard, and this is the title of my message this morning. Name it something different. You say, oh, how do we do that? I'm going to get there. This is the title today. I want you to say it with me. Name it something different. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, over the next 5 minutes, move in our hearts, move in our spirits. Change us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. I'd like to look at God's word for just a few minutes in Genesis 35 and review and remind ourselves that what may be happening may have already happened to someone else. Jacob loved Rachel. In the scripture, Rachel tended the sheep. Jacob loved Rachel. He thought she was beautiful. He desired her. And Rachel, the Bible said, had a lovely figure and a beautiful smile. Rachel had a sister, though, named Leah, and the Bible describes her just a bit differently. The scripture says she had weak eyes and a great personality. Jacob goes to the father and says, I'd like to marry Rachel. I'd like to marry this girl. I'd like to marry your daughter. And the father looks back and says, you can marry her, but you have to give me 7 years of labor. How many of you know that's tough? He gives them the seven. Some of the guys, you shouldn't have said amen. He gives them the 7 years of labor. And here's what happens. Here's what happens if you're not familiar with the story. He tricks him at the end of the 7 years and gives him a different daughter. He gives her the daughter that the Bible describes that had some strange eye thing going on, but she had a good personality. So Jacob goes back to the dad and says, listen, you married the wrong daughter. This wasn't the right daughter. I love Rachel. I want to marry Rachel. And the father says this, you'll have to give me 7 more years of labor. Now, I know most guys at that point, they just beat tail and head out, right? But in this case, Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her. He was devoted to being with her. So he gave the father another 7 years. Hallelujah. And he marries Rachel. And Rachel and Jacob are married. And they want what every family wants. They want a house. They want a white picket fence. They want a dog. I don't want a dog. I'm sorry. I've had dogs and cows and all that. Maybe some cows again. They want all this, but sadly, they can't conceive a child. They can't conceive. Heartbreaking. Tragic. So she begins to compare herself to her sister. And the scripture describes this discouragement of Rachel. Finally, she conceives a child. They have a child. She wants another child. Stay with me a second because I'm going somewhere with this. It helped me tremendously. I believe it's going to help you this morning. She goes to have another child. And this is where we pick up the scripture in Genesis 35 in verses 16 through 18. And it says this, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. This is the second child, remember. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't despair, for you have another son. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named the son Benoni. But the father named him Benjamin. Rachel named her son one thing. The father named the son something else. Names matter. I just told you a second. Name it something different. The struggle that you're facing, the issue that you're hung up on for years and years and years, the problem that you have, don't name it out of the circumstance that you're in or have been in like Rachel did. Rachel says, Benoni. Benoni means son of my sorrow. As she breathed her last breath, her son breathed his first. And you can understand why Rachel had this moment where she named the child son of my sorrow. You can understand it. She's never going to spend that time with that child. She's never going to have the opportunity to love that child. She's brokenhearted. She's hurt. She names something forever. She gives a forever name. She sets an identity based on a moment of hurt. We do the same thing. Understand, she was stating her present circumstance. I'll never have a moment with this child. Jacob's mourning at the same time. Jacob, he loves Rachel. Remember, he gave 14 years of his life to marry her. He's brokenhearted. He's hurt. But he pauses in the middle of the hurt, in the middle of the circumstance, in the middle of the problem, in the middle of the heartbreak, in the middle of the struggle, and he names it something different. What I'm telling you this morning is sometimes you've got to name things different than the current circumstance. You got to look at your mountain. You got to look at your problem. You got to look at your circumstance and go, this is what it looks like, but I'm not naming myself. I'm not naming this place for eternity based on this circumstance. Are you with me this morning? Jacob names it something different. And I'm going into point one, and I'm going to be done in just a second here. Point number one. Jacob knows what may be true in a moment won't be true forever. Jacob knows that what may be true right now won't be be true forever. You might be in the middle of trauma. You might be in the middle of tragedy. You might be in the middle of hurt. You might be in the middle of a low point. But what may be true about you now won't be true forever. And here's what Jacob does. And here's what God does for every person in this room, every person that can hear my voice in this room. Here's what God does. We come in looking like this, don't we? I remember, and I've told this story many times, my father's hurt, bankrupt, messed up, worthless, all hurt. Turn around, we got stuff on the back and the front. We're carrying stuff all over the place. You know what I'm talking about. Idiot, pothead, all kinds of crazy stuff. Here's what Jacob does with his son. He says, oh no, it might be a difficulty today, but it won't be forever. And that's what God does to us. That's what he does to you. That's what he does to moms. That's what he does to dads. That's what he does to sons, to daughters. He just begins to go like this. What may be true about you now, it won't be true forever. Even though the circumstance identifies you as these things now, it won't be true forever. He removes the label of your circumstance. Ooh, that's good. He removes them. Come on, give the Lord a praise. He removes the label of your circumstance because he knows what may be true now won't be true forever. You might have lost your job. You might have got fired. You might have lost a child. You might have got divorced. You might have made a big slip up. You might have screwed up. You're financially ruined this morning. What may be true today won't be true forever. You're not bankrupt. You're my child. You're not an idiot. You're my child. You're not fearful because you're a child of the King. You're not an idiot. What that person told you, it's wrong. You're not a pothead. You're being conformed. You're being changed into the image of God. You are not broken anymore. Because God has renewed a right spirit within you. What God does is the same thing that Jacob did. And I didn't even say this in the first service. This came to me right during the first, right after I got done, this came to me. Listen to this. Those of you that know your Bible, do you remember who did this to Jacob? Jacob just did this to his son. He gave him a new name. Don't you remember Jacob? Don't you remember? He was wrestling with God. He was wrestling. And he said to God, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. You know what God did? He was wrestling with God. He says, Jacob, your name is no longer Jacob. It is Israel. God renamed Jacob. Jacob renamed his son. And God renamed you and I. Every person in this room. You know the crazy thing about, I asked Brad yesterday to do this. You know the crazy thing about Brad? Brad's no different than Jacob. God did a miraculous work in his life, just like he's done in many of your lives. You know what he's doing now? He's sharing it, the same experience, with other people. Oh my gosh, that's so good. What may be true about you now won't be true forever. Give Bradley a hand. Here's the Christmas in this message. This is what Christmas is all about. He's given you a new label. The trees have nothing to do with it. The gifts have nothing to do with it. The day on the calendar has nothing to do with it. You know what it has to do with? Ephesians. Listen to this. Ephesians 2 and 18. Listen to the word of the Lord. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. God came as a gift to give you a new name, to give you a new label, to give you a new future, to give you a new hope, to give you a new future. He has resurrected you through his death. That's why the gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus, the baby born in a man, that's why it means so much. Because he gives you and he gives me a new label. That's why he came. That's the gift of Christmas. Number two, are you ready? Number one, what may be true about you today won't be true forever. Number two, this one's a little tougher. This is a little more challenging. Number two, you don't get to choose what comes into your life. You don't get to choose. You don't get to choose when you lose a child. Rachel didn't make that decision. There are things that are happening day in and day out. You can't make a choice whether they happen or not. Yeah, there are some decisions that we make that are poor, but a lot of what goes on in your life, you can't control it. You can't control when that teacher says those things to you. I couldn't control it when she said those things to me. You don't get to choose what comes into your life, but you do get to choose how you identify with it. I hope you'll hear this now. I hope you'll get this right now. Don't lose me right now. You don't get to choose what happens, but you do get to choose how you identify with it and how you move on from it. I'm going to give you an example. Jacob saw son of my right hand, son of my blessing, son with a future. Here's what Rachel saw. It's a perspective difference. It's an insight difference. She just saw son of my sorrow. We've all been there. We've labeled things. We've identified with things that have come, and there has been trauma, and we identify our future with them. But I want to encourage you this morning, you're not labeled those negative things. Remember, God's power is bigger than your past. He never intended you to be normal. He intended you to be confident in Christ, motivated by your calling. God to be your joy and strength. Not undependable and cheater and loser and failure, but forgiven, transformed, made new, healed, loved, and an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to end with this. Some of you are in a tough season right now, but I want to encourage you to say things like this. I'm being conformed into the image of Christ. I want you to know this morning that we're going to choose to say, I'm drawing close to Christ. Some of you might feel incomplete and a failure, like a failure this morning. Choose to say, I've learned so much. And I want to do one last thing. I want to declare over you some labels that God has given you. And if you want to receive them, just lift your hand to the Lord right now. You are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave us. You are secure. What shall we say about these wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? You are capable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You are valuable. For God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your life. And lastly, you are dearly loved. Since God chose you to be a holy people He loves, you must also clothe yourself in tender, loving mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And this, my friends, look at me one more time. This, my friends, is what Christmas is all about. You have a new label. You have a new future. You have a new destiny. You have a new calling. You have a new purpose. It's just if you choose to believe it. Do you believe it this morning? Come on, lift your hand right now. Father, in Jesus' name, you see every hand in this house. You see every heart in this place. You see every soul within the sound of my voice. And Father, we declare your goodness, your grace, your label, your resurrection power, your perfect peace to rest on everyone in this house. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would all the prayer people come? Listen, I want you to know that's the gift of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. And do me a favor. Spread the love of God. Spread the grace of God. Listen, I'll say it again. I don't tell you to invite people to church so every seat is full. I tell you to invite people to church and to the connect groups and to plug in, because people need the love of God, the love of Christmas. Amen? Amen. Hey, we love you. Our Thursday nights, little plug, our Thursday nights, last Thursday was awesome. This Thursday, we're having dinner together. That's real connecting. That's grub. And we're not eating salad and bird food like my dad eats. We're eating the real deal, okay? Thursday night's the real deal food. I love you. There's cookies and coffee in the back. Merry Christmas. God bless you.